We have to stop Ronan.
How?
I have a plan.
You've got a plan?
Yes.
First of all, you're copying me from when I said I had a plan.
No, I'm not. People say that all the time. It's not that unique of a thing to say.
Secondly, I don't even believe you have a plan.
I have part of a plan.
What percentage of a plan do you have?
You don't get to ask questions after the nonsense you pulled on Nowhere.
I just saved Quill.
We've already established that you destroying the ship that I'm on is not saving me.
When did we establish?
Like 3 seconds ago!
No, I wasn't listening. I was thinking of something else.
Oh.
She's right. You don't get an opinion. What percentage?
I don't know. 12%.
12%?
That's a fake laugh.
It's real!
Totally fake.
That is the most real, authentic, hysterical laugh of my entire life, because that is not a plan.
It's barely a concept.
You're taking their side?
I am Groot.
So what? It's better than 11%. What the hell does that have to do with anything?
Thank you, Groot. Thank you.
We're back.
I'm Damien.
That's Damien.
That is Douglas.
That's Douglas. And this is the best karaoke seal
of 2014. It's times like this I am saddened that we no longer do video. I've taken photos and we're going to put this on the website. Especially now that I've said we're going to put it on the website. Either that or I'm going to Twitter bomb everybody with this picture of Andrew Robinson.
What is a Twitter bomb?
It is when you spam there's apps that you can use to spam everybody you and your friends know on Twitter with a specific message.
Isn't that what gets you blocked by everyone?
Yeah, but everyone sees it as a direct message. So you wouldn't, like, there's no way for me to at everybody all at once. Because Twitter has a limit. But there's things that...
But you can only direct message people who follow you.
Right. But I can, once I know all of the people that you follow, I can at them and then send the thing. So my thing will look shitty because there will just be at 100 million people with the same shitty message. But no one is looking at my feed.
When I get I tend to do that. If like I get a reply from a random person, if you look, even like before I start blocking them, I'll open the page and I look. Oh, the person just sending the same message to everybody. Right? So you are worthless. You are spam, and I mark that spam.
I'd gladly be marked. I don't care. Please flag my account as spam.
So yes, as the 2014s. Best karaoke
singer. Such the voice of an angel. This one. Don't let this crusty voice that you hear about the podcast fool you. It is beautiful. It is like watching angels fly away. It's magical, is what it is.
This week,
alright, this top five.
She asked us to sit down and talk about Alex Perry Ross's newest film. Listen up, Philip.
Is that the new book?
Yeah. Things are going to be pretty crazy for me after the release. Los Angeles in January, San Francisco, and the whole West Coast thing, really. I'm told to expect big things out there.
You sound like you're bragging.
That's because I am bragging.
I can probably find you a lighter weight jacket.
Let's just keep this jacket on me and take the photograph sooner rather than later. I can't breathe here, and you seem to resent my presence.
Well, you're a cruel, miserable person.
I loved your book. Of course, I had achieved considerably more than you by now.
So that's been the podcast. Alright, so this movie is about an individual named Philip, played by Jason Schwartzman, who is a bit of an asshole. A bit of a pretentious asshole. And he's pretentious not because of anything other than he writes books, because what's more pretentious than that these days? That?
Jamaica's best karaoke singer. That said, that is a bold on par.
And the movie follows him over a period of just a while as things happen to him. Right, relationships fall apart. He becomes a friend to one of his idols. And he takes up a teaching position for a while. And things happen. The movie is very strange. And I feel weird describing a movie as strange, because generally that's a good thing in my mind if a movie is odd. I picked this movie to talk about because I see so many people bringing it up as one of the best movies of the year gone by. Uh-huh. And I'm like, it's that time. I want to see all of these movies now. And I'm like, this is one that's available. Let's give it a shot. Almost from minute one, I knew I fucked up. Right? When the movie started and the narration began, and like, we see movies that have narration in them every day of the week, but when they start, like, something about them, it tends to always be first person narration. It's always the person in the movie telling you what's going on. There are very few instances where there's someone else who you never see or anything like that is narrating the movie. And immediately with...
Little did he know.
But you eventually see her.
Yeah.
So that doesn't count. And I'm going to get to a point on that very soon.
Stranger than fiction.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's a decent movie. I like that movie.
When the narration starts, it's kind of obvious that he's doing it in a manner where the narrator is reading a book, and you have to imagine that the movie itself is probably that book he's reading, right? Also, at the same time, it feels very, very much so that the narration is speaking directly to Philip. So it almost feels like it's broken between two things. Whether we're watching a movie about someone talking about the story of Philip and criticizing Philip for being an asshole, and just a person who almost intentionally doesn't want to associate himself with society in any sort of real sense. Or it's just it's beyond Stranger Than Fiction meta of how the book to story relationship occurs. And it just bashed my head in over and over for 90 straight minutes going, Andrew, this is strange and you're going to love or hate this. There were elements of the characters I liked, like just shenanigan stuff that I enjoyed. But for the most part, this movie was just a pain to watch. And I know Douglas didn't like this movie.
What?
Damien, I'm assuming, didn't like this movie.
It is my favorite movie.
So let's get this over quick, guys.
Let's stab me here.
Right. let's make the death quick. Let's not do this slow and torturous.
Yeah, Andrew, so I watched this movie with you, and let's just say that you appeared to like this movie a lot more than I did.
So you mean like one sentence more. Like I found one joke funny and you were like, there was nothing.
No, as you said, and you pointed out, one of the biggest things I had a problem with, the narration was just horrible. It was just useless, and it just almost personified just how bad this movie was. You know, you start off with kind of crappy narration, and I'm like, oh, is it going to get better than this from here? And it doesn't. And of course... and I know it's unfair to judge a movie this way. And I spoke about it with, I think the last movie we spoke about was Babadook, right? Where I said, you know, for me, it was difficult just to watch the son because he was such an asshole, right? And that's a good thing for that movie. But for this movie, it didn't have any of the other good things to try and bring me back into the movie, right? So I just kept looking at Jason Schwartzman and being like, why am I watching this person?
That's the point. You're supposed to hate him.
And yeah, maybe, you see, that's the thing, exactly. You're supposed to hate him, I'm sure. But it just wasn't...
That's actually something somebody said to me the other day.
Uh-huh.
I was talking about... I can't remember what movie it was. I don't think it was this one. It was a mm-hmm. different movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, like I mentioned, like, but I hate that character so much.
Yeah.
And he's like, look, And I take this point, and I think it's valid, but at the same time, it doesn't quite work in the way we talk about movies somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
In that, when you watch a movie, you're not supposed to love or hate a character. You're supposed to understand them. Right? Think about in the context of the Babadook,
mm-hmm.
right? Regardless of how much you actually loved or hated, like that child or
mm-hmm.
the mother or
yeah.
whatever, part of the enjoyment of that movie came from understanding them. Right? From
mm-hmm.
what was happening with their words.
Mm-hmm.
No, the movie can pass or fail on how well it helps you understand the character. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But if your criticism of something is that I hated this character,
mm-hmm.
that's all...
No, you're absolutely right, right? Which is why I prefaced it, or I tried to preface it by saying, I know this is not how I should look at this.
I know, I'm
but,
just,
yeah.
just something that came up in my mind.
No, absolutely. And so this guy is just dumb. But you see, there also, for me, were no real redeeming factors or no real reason for me to go and say, okay, I understand why this guy is this way, and that's an interesting story or whatever. It was just him being a dick 24/7 and then finding someone who was able to reinforce his dickness, his dickicitude, or whatever that word would be. Right?
Dickosity.
Yes.
Dick mannerisms.
To be fair to the movie, I did kind of like, even though he was kind of an enabler and he was kind of the focal point of Jason Schwartzman's character's just assholery in this movie. But I really did like Jonathan Pryce, who played Ike. I liked, there was something about him where he was a dick, yes, but it was almost like he was essentially Damien, right? Because it was almost like he was constantly making a joke. And if you were a dick enough, you'd get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I got those jokes. But Jason Schwartzman, Philip, maybe he was just a little bit too young. So he just took it on face value and was like, yeah, I can be a dick.
Sadly, you know, one of the things that bothered me the most, because it was part of what I was looking most forward to watching this movie,
mm-hmm.
Was how little I ended up liking Elizabeth Moss's character, because
yeah.
I like her as an actress, and I she was one of the factors that made me want to watch.
She's
this
a girlfriend,
movie.
Right?
Yeah.
The first Aristotle,
the first one who ends up getting a cat.
The one who Andrew watched this movie for because she's in Mad Men.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yes. that's why we got to watch this movie, because it has somebody from Mad Men.
I've never seen her before. So.
Yeah.
She's also in an actual good movie that came out this year.
Which one is
The One I Love.
Oh, I really wanted to watch
that movie.
The
one with Mark Duplass.
Yeah.
I get vacation soon.
I can watch that now.
Sorry, what's that?
He gets vacation already.
Where do you work
at? I work at a good place.
Oh, no, you don't.
Yes.
You said it's beside Bob Marley Museum. You work for the Marlies, don't you?
So, Damon, you've been quiet.
Yes. I said I've heard
it's
my favorite movie.
Is it because you agree with us and there's nothing more to add? Or is it because you are just waiting? You're waiting for your moment to strike.
There's no venom. It's too boring. It's a bad movie.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing there. He's a whiny bitch, and he continues to be that to the end of the movie. What I was excited for was, like, partway through the movie, like halfway or something, it kind of flips and it's telling the girlfriend side. So I wanted to see, you know.
That was actually strange to
what
me. I didn't expect that.
By the end of the movie, that became part of the reason I didn't like this movie at all. But when it flipped, I went, oh, so they've just set up the first half to show that this guy is just the worst. And now the rest of the movie will be this girl and trying to understand what she saw in the first place and what she's going to do in order to move forward. But they just show her moving forward for like 5-10 minutes. Then it flips back to this guy who
is the worst.
Yeah, and there's a lot of movies where the lead is terrible and in a lot of ways unlikable. But the story wrapped around it is interesting enough to either get you to see his point of view or appreciate his point of view or what. Like, Nightcrawler, he's not a great dude. He's the worst.
Love that movie.
The movie that they wrap around him is incredible. Now, if that movie was just him and his girlfriend and then him being an asshole all the time, but there's no stakes, there's no anything, you'd go, well, this is fucking terrible. And that's the situation with this. It's just a bad movie. There's nothing... Like, what would you recommend about this movie? There's no story there.
What I'd recommend is...
There's no, is
I, let me tell you what...
Watch Nightcrawler.
No. What I'd recommend is there's a guy named Jonathan Pryce in this movie. He's also in Brazil. Watch Brazil.
Oh. One more Ike.
Exactly. He's in a lot of Terry G movies, so just watch Terry G.
If you're a fan of any other actors, they're in better things.
Yeah.
Except Mad Men, of course.
Yeah. Do you like the one I love?
I haven't seen it. Remember that that's where I think I knew her from.
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing her in the show. But it's half star, it's terrible. Don't.
Wait,
it's
not allowed zeros, right?
Just
I guess.
Don't. Yeah. Just don't. Save yourself. Do what I did. Watch my double feature for 2014, Stoker and Gone Girl. Feel better about yourself. It's the question, boy.
It's the question.
So I have no questions because the question was so long ago
that
it's all lost.
Twitter's eaten that question.
I think it was about books. And I remember getting a few responses. One person talked about the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy book. And I thought it was a weird answer because that's actually a book. But then I remembered the book that they talk about
isn't
the book you're reading. It's a hypothetical book. And
essentially, what's the best book in a movie?
Fake books you want to read from movies.
I remember that. And I remember that I'd actually come up... I spoke about how I'd actually come across a list like that on the internet already.
Because of the Babadook.
Yeah.
I want to buy the Babadook book and give it to a child.
Absolutely.
And just tell...
You understand, you'll be arrested.
Give it to my cousin and tell her, read this with your child. And just watch her being angry at me a week later.
I'd want to figure out a way so that we could essentially watch that scene so in the movie there's that scene where she actually starts reading and she's like, look, this is okay far. And then it gets a little bit strange, but all right, let's see where this is going. And then she stops reading or she stops saying what is in the book and she's just like, wait, let's not talk about this one.
I actually wonder what version that book is because in the movie it changes early to later in the movie.
Yeah.
I don't know what version of the book is that you buy because they have it for sale.
Yeah, they do. I know. I would imagine it's the later one. The one with everything in it.
Mm-hmm. They should made the book fireproof. That'd be good. I'd buy it if they do that.
Would you attempt to put it on fire at that point? Just for the sake of...
Just to show people that the book is possessed.
You read it to them first and you say it's evil, right? Do you fire?
The book just stays in the fire.
So for next week, considering it's Christmas.
Next week isn't Christmas. I don't think they understand how numbers work.
Christmas is next week Thursday.
I'm sorry? Christmas is when Thursday?
Next week Thursday.
Oh, right. I'm counting today.
Your numbers...
No, are you a Monday person? Are you
right,
a first
my
day
week
week is
starts
Monday?
On Monday. That is why.
Okay.
This is the final day of my work week. Right. So it goes from Monday to Sunday. So that's why he's saying next week. I'm like, no. Thursday coming is my exam. And then next week...
Close enough.
This is my fault, not yours.
Yeah, he doesn't understand how numbers work.
I don't understand how dates work.
So, seeing as it's Christmas.
Yay, Christmas!
What I really want to ask people isn't so much about Christmas movies or movies in general.
Die Hard. Lethal Weapon but, 1.
About
Christmas
movie. one of the basic Christmas traditions, which is gift giving.
I don't know what you're talking
about. And I'd like to ask you if there's one cinematic gift that you'd want to give anyone else. Whether
can you make that sound less pretentious, please? If there's one movie, no cinematic gift.
I heard what he just
like,
said.
Like but, it's a regular thing humans say.
But I understand where he's going because, for instance, Andrew could decide to give you Christopher Nolan.
I take it. I don't know how to do it. I'd have to release him every
now and
again
exactly
to make a movie.
Exactly, yeah. But he'd still have some sort of chain
of
on his foot. Right?
I'm
yeah.
never going to
yeah.
anywhere off of my side.
Like, what would is it that you'd want to give people?
Like, Stoker. Like, Gone Girl. Duct tape.
For example, one of the things more and more I'm getting into is Chaplin films.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the really, really interesting Chaplin movies. I actually started watching, Netflix has like a collection of some of his lesser known shorts,
mm-hmm.
just put together it's like 15 episodes, and like one of the episodes can be between 1 and 3 shorts, and they're like 45 minutes for an episode. And I started going through that, and like, I mean, everyone knows the name Chaplin,
yeah.
even if you
he
don't
said,
know movies.
He said, I don't like sound or color or odd, so I don't like any of that.
I like
Wait,
funny.
Sorry, what was that?
I like funny.
You don't like sound or color or what?
That's why I stopped.
No, I can't always make fun of Andrew. If the
I
opportunity gives up,
like a car, right?
No.
Car.
If you don't like sound, call audio,
or
visual, or audience. Charlie Sheen. Merry Christmas.
I get to see that one,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I get to ask a pretentious question because it's Christmas.
Exactly.
Cinematic.
Yeah.
I feel dirty just hearing
I gave Damien Chris Nolan, so. Yeah.
Thank you, Douglas.
Yeah.
So you've
I'm
always
like,
been my
I'm
favorite.
Like, what's his name? Cousin Ralph? In the Christmas Vacation,
oh, no.
where you know the Chevy Chase is like, the best thing you could do is give me my boss so I could punch him in the face, and he's like, okay.
No problem.
One of them being this is New Year's Eve. How about living it up a little?
As for instance,
well,
we could make some paper boats and have a regatta, or we could turn on the shower full blast.
How about capturing the kitchen and barricading the door?
Are you hungry?
Hungry. After 12 years in the Burmese jungle, I'm starving, Lady Agatha. Starving for a white shoe.
Philip, you're mad.
Thirsting for the coolness of your lips.
You can have the phone now.
No, Philip, no, we must be strong. You're still wearing the uniform of the Coldstream Guards. Furthermore, you can have the phone now.
Okay. Suddenly, I find myself terribly afraid of losing you.
You won't. I'll get us a refill of this horrible liquid.
You'll be waiting for me.
With a wildly beating heart.
Life can be beautiful.
Top 10.
Congratulations.
So this week,
mm-hmm.
tying in with Listener Philip, I wanted us to talk about our top 5 writers as characters in movies. And I already recognize that Douglas is laughing because he realized he had no work to really do. Because all he has to do is pick the 5 movies he talked about in the last episode and
That's
point the characters.
That's not why I'm laughing.
Why is he laughing?
He's laughing because I Couldn't make a list.
That's not why I'm laughing either. Well, I'm laughing because I found yet another way to game the system.
What is that?
Oh, you'll find out. You'll find out, sir.
So, Damien, you're number five.
I don't have a list.
So, you're saying your list-making ability is based on your... Is based
ability
on
to
your,
type shit into, the,
on your
into my tablet? Yeah.
Like, you can't do it any other way.
What other way are you talking
about? Device
about?
You can use...
You want me to use my phone? Not going to do that.
Pen and paper.
What?
I remember there used to be a time when he actually brought pen and paper to the podcast on a mm-hmm. weekly basis. Do you remember that?
Yes, I didn't have an Exos, did I?
Also, I wonder if Google allows its applications to sync with things like, say, computers.
Yeah.
Because that would be interesting.
It does. So, like Keep works, I could put it in Keep. The problem is, how do I access it now? You see, Keep is over here. Okay, Google. Open Keep.
Actually, that would work.
And you could say type right this.
Opening app.
Yeah. Add quick note. Oh wait, there's no way to do that, is there? No. Because I could move this. How would I get to the top? And how do I type?
You just rotate.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, look, the keyboard goes away. No, that's
fine. So you seriously don't have a list?
No, I don't have a list.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, Andrew, me and you
turn
then.
On until like 2 days ago.
Me and you then, Andrew. Just
assume this was broken for it.
So, Andrew.
Mm-hmm. I'll just mock both ears.
Andrew. Mm-hmm. My top five is glorious.
Mm-hmm. Your top five is glorious. Would you like glorious. To start or me?
I can start, that's fine.
You kick it off.
I'll kick it off. So, my number five...
We'll kick off.
Okay. Is a character that actually has no name. He is known only as himself from the greatest movie ever,
mm-hmm.
or one of once.
I guess that works.
He is a writer
of songs.
Nobody said to Douglas, "You must have a writer of books."
I'm not gonna fight you on that. Because I did game the system in that sense a little bit, but I didn't go so far.
Okay.
Because, I mean, like, I took writer to mean the general. If you write anything, you're a writer.
Yeah.
I can put you on my list.
Yeah.
But I literally wasn't thinking about songwriters. So you win. Right? With number five already, I want to just jump in a hole and not come out. Once. Okay, so my number five,
I love that movie.
Is one of the more traditional films that would come up in a list like this. It's one of the more beloved Coen Brothers movies, and I need to watch it again. I like it. I don't love it as much as many people. It's Barton Fink. Because when I saw it for the first time, I thought it was weird and interesting. And then I started reading about it, and I fall into this trap more and more these days, where I'll start to read people's interpretations of movies, and I will become invested in trying to find that interpretation myself
mm-hmm.
in watching a movie. So most people describe this movie as a writer in writer's hell, and it becomes literal hell in that movie when like the place burns up and all, and it just becomes something Coen Brothers do in a lot of their movies, where they just amp up the crazy. Like slowly through, and I keep telling myself to watch this movie again, but it still deserves a number five spot on this list.
Alright, fair enough. Fair enough. So my number four, this movie is great, but this character within this movie is just it's just amplified. Andrew, have you ever watched Amadeus?
I have not.
Oh, that movie is so good, right? No, there are a bunch of folks. Clearly, I could write my top five list on this movie alone because it's a movie about Mozart, you know? But there's one specific character. Essentially, he's the reason for the movie. He's the driver behind the movie. And he's played by F. Murray Abraham. His name is Salieri. And he is the greatest. Essentially, he's that guy. He's like, if we were to do the metaphor for running. He is, say, the Asafa to the Usain Bolt. He's a guy that sits down there and, you know, that Mozart didn't fucking exist. I'd be the greatest. And he goes through the movie as a narrator. And you see him a couple of times and he's just sitting down there just bitter and old. And just, he's essentially Damien, right? And he's great. And Andrew, you need to watch that movie. That movie is just so good. It's so funny. It's just great.
Amadeus is great. My number four is actually a TV movie. It's a movie I caught on TV, and I quite like it. I think it's quite interesting. It is called, I had the name in my head and now it's run far away from me. It's called The TV Set, if you've ever seen it. It stars David Duchovny, who plays
That's
the
not
writer.
A TV movie.
Yes, it is.
Are you
it was
sure?
Produced for television.
I've watched it on like Showtime and
That's
channels
TV.
Like that.
That's
well,
TV.
No, I know, but I always assume if I see a movie on a movie channel, it's because it was released
at
some
when
area.
A TV movie, you expect to hear Home Guy.
But also when I assume that because it's on Showtime, it's not because Showtime made it. It's because it came out and then a year later it got dumped onto Showtime. But I didn't realize it was a TV movie.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
The TV Set.
What?
Who?
Where? Why? When? I just completed the set.
Stars David Duchovny, and it's about a writer who David Duchovny plays. The character's name is Mike Klein, and he is currently filming the pilot for his show that he's written. He's pitched his pilot to the television studios. They're like, go right ahead, and he's filming this pilot, and it's all about how it starts from point A
mm-hmm.
of what he wrote to point B of where we ended.
No, closer like point Z. Not really point B.
it's a really interesting movie. If you're one of those people who enjoy seeing the process of things going from your imagination to reality, it's an interesting film. I find it quite... There are many movies which I feel have done this. This works very well.
Okay, cool. So... My number three
mm-hmm.
is a movie that both of us watched recently. I hope Damien has seen this movie because it's great. I think you may not like this movie as much as I do, Andrew, but oh my goodness. It is a movie. I'll call it a self-titled movie. Seeing as, you know, we're talking about songwriters here, or at least that's my list. You know, it's like, this movie is like the album, and it's a self-titled album for a man who has some issues. He's a great musician. He has a great band behind him, but you never see his face, and his name is Frank, right? And, and that music, I mean, that movie has some of the weirdest, some of the... oddest, some of the just best music I've listened to this year, and I really want to get that soundtrack, even just for the last song where my boy, what's his name again, actually sings himself.
Fassbender,
yes, Fassbottom actually sings himself, right? This movie is great, the music is fantastic, and you know, Frank writes the shit out of his music, clearly.
So my number three, remember, it's just writing, and journalism is writing.
Yup, that's what when you said the Coen Brothers, I was thinking of another Coen Brothers movie where there was a journalist in there, which I would have used as mine instead.
This movie is a film that Douglas and I quite love.
Oh, really?
It involves a Guillermo and lots of mescaline.
Oh, yes.
it is Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas with with Johnny Depp playing Gonzo.
No, he's playing...
Hunter S. Thompson.
No, he's playing Raoul Duke, okay?
He is Hunter S. Thompson.
He essentially is,
mind.
But...
I just couldn't remember his character name, and
yeah.
I was always associated with Thompson. I know they gave him a name just
yeah.
to be like, it's not him.
Yeah.
Right? But it's him.
Yeah, it's
right?
him, actually.
Because, like,
I mean,
I know what your number one is going to be. You dick.
Don't know that. I've actually done some reading about Hunter S. Thompson's writings. Mm-hmm. Like the idea of gonzo journalism, and that term has been adopted in so many industries after he's created it. This idea of we don't have to intentionally talk about the thing, we can talk about the experience and talk about everything that happened around it, and that counts as value, right? And I think it's amazing. But just this movie feels like that. It feels like they don't talk about whatever is actually supposed to be happening. They just go around.
Yeah, exactly.
It works. And guys, you see dinosaurs.
Yes, you do.
At some point in this movie.
Yes, you do. And you see flying bats. A motorbike race becomes a warfield. It's great.
Everyone on Earth has seen
her. I don't think so.
Everybody.
I don't think so.
I don't think most people have watched that movie.
That's such a special kind. It takes such a special kind of person to like that movie. That, you know.
Is this the asshole episode? Is that what's happening? It takes a special kind.
It does though. Like that movie is.
You're
pretty...
a special kind of person. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, shut up.
Is that your cinematic gift? For Christmas?
You know what? Yes, my cinematic gift for Christmas Here's my cinematic gift for everyone in the world. It is the ability to love Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Thank you,
old
great movie
star
Douglas Robinson.
You don't love Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. If you didn't before.
Exactly.
I have now changed my mind 100% since you're going to this podcast.
I'm giving you the power to love.
Listen,
like somebody you love.
Take your karaoke trophy and fuck right off.
So, okay, guys, my number two is a special movie. It's a special character within that movie. And you know this movie is special when I really thought I'd done something, well, not necessarily wrong, but I had thought that I had essentially taken on a battle I could not win when I did this. But I said, you know what? I'll do it anyway. I am going to ask Damien and Andrew, specifically Damien, to watch a musical and like it. Right? I tried real hard. And I knew it wasn't going to work. Guess what, guys? Douglas won. I won, and Damien actually enjoys a musical. And for good reason, because this musical is awesome. And in this musical, we have a man by the name of Winslow, who is a great songwriter, who gets sent to prison, who gets maimed, and who then becomes the Phantom.
The Phantom.
And this movie is... The Phantom of the Paradise. This movie just has so many shenanigans and such great music, right? There's one thing to talk about, you know, the comedic aspect of the movie itself, which is great, but the music in this movie is fantastic. It's great rock, you know, and the movie obviously is reminiscent, at least for me, of, you know, Rocky Horror Picture Show and that kind of movie, but it's just great. Great.
So my number two is a trilogy.
Dick.
And it comes from the mind of a Linklater. As we talk about Jesse.
He is a writer.
And his many adventures.
Oh, that could have got on my list just because. I would have made that. I would have broken that rule.
I still enjoy my idea that... As much as because it's obvious in the movies that the books they talk about as actually existing are the previous movies that we've seen.
Yeah.
But in each movie, he pitches us a story. And in each movie, the story he pitches us is fucking horrible.
No,
I know
disagree. I agree with it. The second one, even though the second one, I could see it in kind of like a postmodernist sort of vibe. But I really do think that the first pitch would have been interesting. It would have been fun.
He's actually the way I imagine writers are, even though I know most of them aren't.
Yeah.
Where he's kind of laid back, and it's obvious he gets all of this downtime where
he marks it all down as stuff I'm experiencing to then influence what I'm going to sit down and write.
Yeah.
And then I just imagine him working for 3 months and being done for the year. yeah, that's pretty much it. We all love those movies. Damon doesn't.
I've changed my mind.
So guys, my number one, which as you know, I could have made into a whole top five by itself because I've done so already in previous emails. I have done so already. But I left it just for number one because there's no way you can have Prince be anything outside of number one. So there was this movie called Purple Rain. And in that movie, there was a kid. And his name was The Kid. And he is the best songwriter ever.
But he does plagiarize his father's music, though.
No. No, that's not plagiarism, sir. That is poetic justice. I mean, poetic license. Okay?
Poetic justice?
No, right? Poetic license, sir.
Did he murder his father? Get the
music? Well, you never know.
What they're telling me.
What they showed us could have been, you know, something he created in his mind or a story he told to the feds.
he could have killed Purple Rain.
But Purple Rain is the greatest bad movie ever. And
hey.
Just
relax. Airborne is still the movie. Okay? I want you to calm down.
But Airborne doesn't have music.
Yes. But you just said greatest bad movie.
I know, but Airborne has a bad part, but it doesn't have a music part.
Purple Rain is a nightmare.
It is. Purple Rain is god awful.
It's the worst thing that probably has ever been put in the film.
But it's the best.
Let me be very clear. If you close your eyes, Purple Rain is incredible. As long as you don't look at what is happening on the screen, you will absolutely enjoy Purple Rain.
What I love the most about Purple Rain was when, like, I think the movie's around 90 minutes or so. And like, it might be 80.
And, like, the 45-minute mark.
Around the 65-minute mark, you realize it's run out of movie, and it just has a Prince concert.
Right. They just go, we've done all we can. We've taken this as far as we're legally allowed to.
But we have to make 80 minutes.
So let us just give people what they paid for in the beginning. Let's just give them a video of Prince Babies. And then we'll cut it there.
So my number one, Douglas, I know you think you've won.
Oh no. No, yeah. I know what your number one has to be, even though it sounds like it's not.
It's not.
How
that
can
movie.
It not be that movie?
Because I've consciously decided
not to
talk about that movie anymore. I'm not going to bring it up. Yes, we all know it. Andrew loves Almost Famous.
Yep.
Right, but I'm not talking about that movie.
And especially because he spoke about Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, and you were watching that movie the other day, and I heard the line, you're like, we've got one Hunter S. Thompson already. I'm not going to take another one.
But I think I've won just based on being able to bring this movie up. And like in this list, because I'm sure you didn't think of it,
okay.
Even if you weren't going in this route with your list, because you were going music.
Yeah.
Your list. But my character is Theodore. He's a writer of letters. Of letters, he writes personalized love letters for his clients in the future. That is her.
All right. That's pretty dumb.
Okay.
But you're not wrong.
Honestly, when I watched that movie, that was one of the weirdest, most interesting things about that future to me. Like, we had the you're in love with our OS thing, which was the basic premise. But when that occurred in the world, like, I had so many questions about that business model. I was wondering whether it was a secret, right? Or, like, people had to come in really quiet and send all their information, or whether it was something that everyone just kind of understands exists, kind of like buying flowers for your girlfriend, where they know you didn't grow these flowers, right? But it's just a thought that you got it from her.
That's a future that I can't see happening because you've spent so much goddamn time on the internet. people are just going to forget how to send regular, like a decent message. Right? Everything is just Twitter nonsense. With hashtags all over the place.
Hashtag crispy.
Hashtag love you. Hashtag killing myself.
If you know a good, hashtag, if you know a good lawyer KFC. Right now, Peter, call them for me now. I will need them in another 20 minutes.
What was the other one? They said like 4 hashtags there. Yeah. And every time I heard it, I just wanted to stab myself in the face.
Hashtag $500.
Yes.
Hashtag flavor.
Even if you wanted to like Twitter, the second you saw that ad, you should have just gone, well, this is over. Not using this thing anymore. Yes, Andrew Robinson. You love her. Her was hyped so much. By the time I saw it, I went, this is good. But not as good as people think it is.
No, yeah, definitely the first time I saw it, I was kind of medium on it. But I like it a lot more now.
It's not like the movie me and Douglas saw with him by ourselves in care.
Oh, yeah. We got a private screening.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
My screening wasn't private.
It was probably better than in terms of literally every aspect.
Mm-hmm.
It was in Toronto.
Was there intermission?
No.
Did they get cut? The movie and then went, oh wait, there's only 2 people in there and none of them are moving. Let's start back up this movie.